Thinking about this week, about the sermon topic, you know, I kind of got it there a couple of weeks ago, and it's awesome how God works, how he reveals stuff to you, and he's revealed stuff to everyone in this room.
Right.
It's not just the pastors that get that stuff. It's the Holy Spirit move upon each and every one of us.
Amen.
Even when he's stirring the heart of a lost person, they realize something's going on. It made me think about three things that really have stood out to me in my time down here. And I can't remember the feller's name that preached the sermon. I think it was a friend of yours, the lukewarm Christian. And I really thought a lot about that one. And the second one was, this is not our home, we're just passing through. The day preached. And then just the other day, am I all in, that Greg had in his lesson. Man, that hit home.
Amen.
Are you all in? Are we all in? I'm asking myself that too. Am I all in? I want to be in. I do. I do. I want to more than anything else. I want to be all in service to the Lord. Now when we do that, we're coming up against things that's wanting us to stumble and fail. And that kind of brought me to the sermon topic this evening, is deceptive sins that sneak into our lives that we really don't see. And before I even get started, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're humbled to bow here before you this evening, Lord, on this little church here by this road, Lord, in the world sense, in the middle of nowhere. But you know where we're at. And you're here amongst us. We thank you, Lord. And we ask for your guidance here this evening. You'll stir our hearts, Lord, to receive this word you have for us, to know what it means to us, and to react to it, to respond to your moving upon our hearts. We praise you. We ask now that you guide and direct these lips right here, Lord. There's nothing but you. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Mowing the grass. I like mowing my grass. I do. And over the years, we've lived there, 28 years. And usually I have the same pattern, you mow. And a few years ago, I noticed that the weed line, or the brush line, you know, everybody that mows out in the country, folks in the city, you know, you mow right against your neighbor's place, But out in the country, you mow against the tree line, the hayfield line, whatever it might be. Well, I'd probably give up 10 feet where I'd slacken a little bit, not mowing clear out to the edge. So in the last couple of months, I've been cutting brush and cutting back. And every time I mow, I'll look, how did I let that get that far? How did I let that get that far in? Why did I let that get that far in? And it was so easy to let that get that far in. You know, I'll get it next time. And I look at stuff in the yard. I need to come out and do this. Well, the next week when I'm on again, I need to come out and do this. Same thing. I need to come out and do this over and over and over. And that's that deceptive sin, as we're going to discover here, how it just creeps in. We don't realize it. Till we got a big mess. I'd lost 10 feet of my yard. You know, that's a big deal. And at the time, it was like, well, I didn't know the heck the grapevines was almost to the back of the house. Right, Debbie? Yep. One tree was just a-hanging right down over the house, full of them old grapevines a-hanging. And there was this rock I used to mow around. You couldn't even see that rock anymore. I was mowing over in the field beside of the garage, which Mandy owns now, and I was mowing it. I got to remember, and I'd cut it back some, and I remember Billy riding motorcycle over that rock. Well, I hadn't seen that rock in 10 years. How stuff creeps in. And the scriptures that we come to is sin deceptive. And Romans 7:11 says, and I'm going to read several here, but Romans 7:11 says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So that made me realize, you know, as I was being deceived by my laziness or whatever it might be, as that grass line was moving in, it could, if I'd have quit, could have took over the whole yard. It could have consumed our yard around our house. And that's what sin does to us. In 1 Timothy 2:14 says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And that's not blaming the woman for the thing, but how it occurred, it was attractive to her. And he followed along. How subtle it was. How easy it was. He presented something beautiful to him, and it was so innocent. And it destroyed him. It brought sin on all of us. In 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now I think of our society, you know, I know all of you can see that. The lost world sees something's wrong. And think about our lifetime, the changes that have made. And they have slowly deteriorated. I heard somebody say the other day, you hear the same lie long enough, you start to believe it. That's the way Satan works. That's what the world's going through right now. Bonk, bonk, bonk. Those ones that joined in with the Iranians, whatever, the congressman or whatever it might be. Somebody said this will be the first time that the United States ever betrayed Israel. Will be in this case right here, right now, and somebody said it's already occurred. So, but it's snuck in. Look at us. I think, how can this happen? How can this be going on? It's like we're all standing around, and it happened. And it's like, what? How could that be? Titus 3:3. "For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, servers of divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That speaks to me. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." He's saying, call upon the Lord today. Amen. Make that commitment today. Make that stand today. Be firm. I tell the kids, make a decision today that you're not going to do this. And tomorrow, you've already made that decision, so you won't have to make it tomorrow when it could be in a different situation. You could be in a more peer-pressured situation tomorrow. Make that decision today. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I want to be all in today. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I want to be solid. I want to stand firm on Jesus Christ. I don't want that sin to slip in. I don't want my yard to be taken over by weeds. I've got a few more. Here's some of the allurements of sin. Joshua 7:21 and Acts 5:1-10. Achan and Ananias and Sapphira give in to greed. Greed, subtle greed. They thought, that won't hurt nothing. It won't hurt nothing. They thought they was taking a little and nobody had noticed. And that's how sin creeps in to all of us. To all of us. It sneaks in. Nobody will notice. Ryan won't know that I did that. Ryan won't know that happened. That's the deceitfulness of Satan. And sin trying to get into our lives and to destroy us. One over a quarter, you know, we call it a quarter, whatever it might be. It could be $1 million, but it could be a quarter. It all comes down to the heart.
Amen.
Next one was in James 1:14. James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed." Selfishness. Now you think of that, that's a petty word. Selfishness. We all got it. It's in our sinful nature. It's in our human nature to self-preserve. And that is a way for Satan to try to trick me, to try to trick you into letting a little sin in. Just letting, it's okay, it's mine, it's just mine. It won't hurt nobody else. It will. It'll hurt you.
Right.
It'll hurt me. And if it hurts you and me, it hurts us, it hurts the church, it hurts the Christian body, it hurts the body of Christ. That's what we're up against here. Yeah, and I usually figure I'm preaching to the choir on a Sunday night. But we all need this. We are susceptible to sin trying to creep into our lives. Many things happen that'll make us drop our guard down, that'll make us mow a little bit short of the edge. I was thinking about the hedges that God has around us. We got to keep track of our hedges, folks. We got to watch them. I was thinking about one time, saying in a room, and we're in, and kids are falling out holes. We got to stuff them cracks so things don't fall away, so things don't creep in. Bingo. Jeff had some chickens. Jeff and Sarah got 6 chickens, and he built a nice coop for them, cage, had it all covered up. And 5 out of the 6 got killed one night. And he had left some little cracks at the top of the walls where the 2x4s meet up there, where he run his sideboards. Cracks about this big. Coon got in there and destroyed his flock of chickens. That's what sin does to us. If we let it in, we got to be ready. We got to be watching. We got to watch our hedges. Take care of your yard. Take care of your yard. 2 Peter 2:18, and I'm about done. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Boasters. I wrote down boasters, confidence in me instead of being confident in God. Graven images. When we done that, if you watched that witnessing plan, they talked about graven images, and it really, I'd never thought of it that way. A graven image is what I make up in my own mind of what God is. And you're up against that every day. A guy at work, you know, I've been talking to him a lot, and the Lord's convicted him. He really is. I asked him the other day, we talk about the retirement plan. And we're talking about heaven, you know. I'm telling him that's a retirement plan. I asked him the other day, I said, you've been thinking about that retirement plan? Every day. Every day. I invited him down here. He said, I might take you up on that. God's moving amongst the people. He sees something wrong. He does. I said it earlier. The majority of the world, the regular folks, they see something's wrong. There's great opportunity out there to witness, to share the Lord, and to be received. Our neighbors, we visited with them the other night. They're thinking about coming to church here. Coming to church in general. I don't say you have to go to Drift Run Church, but I invite them. And what is awesome about you all, I'm going to brag on you all a minute. I was able to share with Debbie's sisters today in confidence. I said, there's a lot of people praying for y'all right now. And I can do that with confidence, not lip service, not just saying the fluff. I think I lost my thought there. The graven images. Yeah, you'll be up against that. That feller I talked to at work, he said, but I'm kind of happy where I'm at. He said, and all you guys are going to do is just go to heaven and sit there, ain't you? I said, well, no. And I really preached hell to him. I said, you don't want to be there. You don't want to. He knew what tribulation period was. He had been churched before. I said, you don't. He said, well, will it be that bad? I said, you have no idea how bad it's going to be. He said, I know. He just hang his head, I know. Yeah, I think the Lord's dealing with him. There again, let that be encouragement to each of us. The world, you can look at somebody and think, he don't want to hear the word. They do. They do. I sit with 5 old guys around at break time. And at lunchtime, And they know something's wrong. Now, they've been told a few times that they need Jesus in their heart, and Jesus is their only hope. But they know something is wrong. The world realizes something is wrong. So that's what we are up against. We got to remain strong. We got to remain firm. We got to stand on the promises that our only hope is in Jesus Christ. This world is a dead end street. As you come and get a song, because I'm done. The Lord says, shut up. So I'm done. I hope that spoke to your heart. It spoke to mine. Take care of the edge of your grass. You're going to lose your yard. Take care of the cracks in the wall. You're going to lose your chickens.